Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today is March 24th, 2018, and we're here live for the next 2 hours. And we're already getting it heated up here behind the scenes on my opinion piece, so be prepared for that. Some of you are going to like it, and some of you are going to hate me. And you know what? I don't care. Get your own show. Talk about what you want to talk about. But that's why it's called an opinion piece. Everybody's got a rectum, and you know, they all go with different opinions. I'm a little fired up today. Anyway, as you know, I always start my day and the show with my cup of fresh Joe from the CEFCO here, Hilltop CEFCO in Cameron. Make sure you go there to get yours. They got special here at $2 for $3, the Hershey's king-size candies. You got Hershey chocolates, Kit Kats, Reese's bar. So go check them out at the Hilltop CEFCO here in Cameron. A lot of good stuff. Now, I want to tell you what's coming up in the show because we got a lot going on. I got Trey to the front here, Ross to my left. And today, True Stories of Self-Defense takes a little twist. I'm going to read you some examples of self-defense from the dark side. So stay tuned to find out what that's all about. In my License to Carry Attorney segment, Attorney Extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson will talk to me about taking someone's life. And what I mean by that is the questions asked the shooter when in the courtroom. The court is going to dissect your decision to shoot, and this will give you a little window of what could be asked. The topic of interest segment will give you dates and upcoming events at Aaron's, shoots, and class dates, so get your calendars ready. This week's tactical snacking segment will be somewhat of a follow-up segment to the bug-out bag that I and Nurse Connie went over a couple weeks ago. However, the delicious Janae Goodman will be telling us what food will be good to put in that bag. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm bugging out with anticipation. All right, at 11, the voice of law enforcement. The voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the man of manners, the duke of decency, and the pontificator of practicality, and all-around good guy. Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight is the Ruger LCP-380. Now, there's the original, the upgrade, and then there's the LCP-2. I'm going to be talking to you about the upgraded one today. So take a look at it by going to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page there, and you'll see a picture of it. It's also got a picture of it shown inside of a wallet holster. It's a pretty cool setup there. Give them a call. Once you see the picture, give ANC Firearms a call at 254-983-4417 to buy yours. It's a great concealed carry gun. Once again, our very own legal immigrant, Zoltan Varga, will be my special guest. And we'll be going over the AR versus the AK, that never-ending battle of good versus evil. This will be very enlightening since Zoli is very adept with both weapon systems. Now, speaking of weapons, we've got Miss Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Miss Key, Master Key will be coming in here again to use me as a practice target to show us all how to defend ourselves. So we got a lot going on the show today. So stand by, strap yourselves in, crank up the volume, tell everybody you know, and here we go. We're going to start with true stories. Now, I told you we're going to the dark side. You hear all this stuff going on. I think they even got a march or something going on about the shootings down there in Florida at the Capitol. I forget. It's in the news. But here's the dark side of things. Everybody's saying the black rifle, the AR-15, is so bad. Well, here's a, instead of me reading separate stories, I'm going to read to you an article here. This is from the Daily Signal. Hey, Rick, what's going on? Eight times law-abiding citizens saved lives with an AR-15. This is from Amy Swearer. Why would any law-abiding citizen need an AR-15? This question has been a favorite talking point of gun control activists in recent months, grating the ears of many lawful owners of the popular semi-automatic rifle. Never mind that rifles of any kind account for only a fraction of gun deaths every year, or that some of the worst public mass shootings in America history have taken place with nothing more than handguns. Never mind that the gun has been readily available to civilians since 1963, and yet has only recently been considered a serious public safety threat worthy of a complete ban. Never mind that the AR-15 is not an automatic rifle, that it is not particularly powerful compared to the other less scary-looking rifles, or that prohibitions on it have shown no correlation to a drop of gun violence. The reality is that the law-abiding citizen purchases millions of AR-15s and similar rifles for one very important overriding reason. The same reason, in fact, that law enforcement officers use them, and that is they are great self-defense rifles. In the words of Andrew Napolitano, the Second Amendment is an extension of the natural right of self-defense that protects the right to shoot tyrants, and it protects the right to shoot them effectively with the same instruments they should use upon us. The AR-15 is a preferred weapon of law-abiding citizens because it does precisely that. It effectively confronts the violent threats from tyrants, oppressors, and most often in post-revolution America criminals. Unlike handguns, the AR-15 is braced against the shoulder and has two separate points of contact for the shooter's hands. This means the firearm is much more stable, making it easier to handle and fire accurately for smaller or less experienced gun owners or for any gun owner facing a life or death situation. They are easy to use, easy to maintain, and reliable. On many occasions where armed self-defense is necessary, simply brandishing a firearm will be enough to deter criminals. But sometimes there is more severe need for average law-abiding citizens to gain an advantage over multiple or heavily armed attackers. Those situations, though infrequent, do occur, and when they do, the AR-15 can be the difference between living and dying. Consider these recent cases where the AR-15 made all the difference. Number one, Harris County, Texas, 2013. A 15-year-old boy saved his life and the life of his 12-year-old sister by fending off a pair of home invaders with his father's AR-15. Rochester, New York, 2013. Two armed burglars retreated from a college student's apartment after coming face-to-face with an unloaded AR-15. The rifle itself instilled enough fear to cause them to flee. Ferguson, Missouri, 2014. During the Ferguson, Missouri riots, nearly all businesses within a particular 2-square-mile area of the city were looted or destroyed, except for one. African-American men guarded the gas station and convenience store of a white friend from looters and rioters. They did so armed with AR-15s and MAC-10 pistols.
That's awesome.
And a variety of handguns. That is awesome. Houston, Texas, 2017. A target of a drive-by shooting successfully fended... A target of a drive-by shooting successfully fended off the attack by using his legally owned AR-15 against his three armed attackers. He was able to hit all three men in the moving vehicle. Woo-hoo! 5. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, 2017. A homeowner's 19-year-old son used an AR-15 to defend himself against would-be burglars who broke into the home in broad daylight. The 19-year-old was later determined to have acted in justifiable self-defense. 6. Sutherland Springs, Texas, 2017. After a gunman opened fire on congregants, thank you, inside First Baptist Church, a man living near the place of worship grabbed his AR-15 and engaged the shooter. The shooter subsequently dropped his own firearm and fled the scene as the courageous neighbor pursued him. Oswego, Illinois, 2018. A man with an AR-15 intervened to stop a neighbor's knife attack on a pregnant woman. The rifle's intimidation factor was credited as a reason why the attacker dropped his knife. 8, finally the last one here, Catawba County, Illinois, 2018. After a 17-year-old relative successfully used his own firearm to fend off three would-be robbers who attacked him in the driveway of his home, a man used his AR-15 to stop a threat from one of the would-be robbers' upset family members. Law-abiding Americans regularly choose AR-15s to defend themselves, their families, and their communities against threats of violence. These Americans hope to never have to use their AR-15 on another human being, but they also know that should the situation arise, they will have one of the best self-defense firearms to level the playing field against the attacker. So all you gun haters out there, the black rifle, it goes both ways. All right, I've got an opinion, and you're not going to like it most likely, but here we go. I call it the human cancer. Ladies and gentlemen, it is your host's opinion, a very strong opinion, I might add, that former President Barack Obama has caused the plague of violence we currently are experiencing. President Obama blatantly disregarded the safety of this country by not securing its borders and allowed the cultivation of division to infest in our citizens. And now the chickens are coming home to roost. During President Obama's reign, uncontrollable numbers of illegal aliens have crossed our borders, many of them bringing disease, crime, and unwanted disdain towards our way of American culture. A racial divide of black and white has exploded once again under Obama's watch. Because of this, the minds of our youth has been polluted with hate and disregard for human life. School shootings, church shootings, and now the rogue haters killing people with IEDs in Austin, causing tension and fear among the citizenry. Thank God the guy blew himself up. This country has a cancer. This cancer takes many forms, and it's called many things, some of which are racism, extremism, and self-centeredness. This cancer needs to be eradicated, cut out, done away with. Each one of us with a patriotic heart is a surgeon able to make a cut in the removal of this cancer. It is our duty as Americans not to accept this, to stop this cancer dead in its tracks. Do not tolerate it. Do not accept it. Lead by example. This country has turned into a bunch of followers, not leaders. We need more leaders of positive and good attitudes towards the American way of life to lead and guide those who have lost their way. Our current president is trying to make America great again and being attacked from every direction. Remember the saying, if you're not getting flack, you're not over the target. President Trump is hitting the bullseye. The bullseye has the American flag draped over it. He wants to secure our borders, make our country prosperous, and make it to be respected and feared at the same time. When I look and hear what others have to offer in regards to making America great again, all I see is food that will make the cancer grow. So stand up, stand proud to be an American, and let's all start acting like true Americans and lead by example. Say no to what's wrong, say yes to what's right, and explain it to those who don't get it. Trey, and the timing's perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and when we come back on the other side, I've got the attorneys extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson and super attorney Rick Dodd to my right. Pleasant surprise to see you, Rick.
Good to be here.
See you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. 4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody. The Aaron's High Cap and Mitchell Radio Program. It's March 24, 2018. The number here is 254-697-6633. Don't forget, we're simulcasting. We're here on 105.1 FM, The Ranch, and we're also out of Rockdale at 98.5 KRXT in Rockdale there. So check us out. Spread the word. And right now I have to my left, attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. To my right, super attorney Rick Dodd. And we're going to be talking about taking someone's life. Meaning, if you unfortunately had to do the deed to protect yourself or whatever, and you have to go to court, here may be some questions that may be asked. And they're going to dissect it big time. So, guys, why don't you chime in on this particular topic and see what you got to say about that.
Well, as you said earlier with the opinion piece, everybody has their own opinion. And so opinions can differ greatly across a wide spectrum, and so,
hey, ma'am, to
okay,
that.
It's obvious you don't agree, but let's stick to the topic.
You
obviously
are going to have different opinions of reasonableness. I was being serious. Everybody is going to have their own opinion. Everybody is going to have their own way of interpreting the facts based on their own experiences. Experiences help people understand what they see before them. And they help us interpret what we're seeing. And think about, sometimes it's hard enough to interpret reality when we're actually the ones in the middle of the circumstances. And so then you take that and you try to think about how difficult it will be for a juror trying to interpret the facts through the voices of five or six witnesses who all saw and interpreted, right, something different based on their own experiences. And so these jurors are going to have to then put together their own stories and make one story cohesive out of bits and pieces and fragments that they heard scattered throughout objections and breaks and argument and lawyering, okay? And they're going to have to put all these pieces together and come to one coherent, unanimous verdict.
And, of course, they're going to filter all of those different stories through their own life experiences, Ross.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. So they're going to interpret all those things based on their own, what they've interpreted through their own life. And so you think about that, and it's scary, right?
It's very scary.
You guys
scare me when you tell me how the law works. It's crazy. How it can be so shifted from one direction to another because of everything you just said.
And from a criminal standpoint, from a criminal trial standpoint, this is why it can worry defense attorneys so much, because it's hard. It's hard to really go and focus and be in the trial setting and really try to determine whether somebody is guilty or not guilty. And sometimes it's a whole lot easier for people just to say, you know what, if he had done what he was supposed to do, he wouldn't be here, so he must be guilty.
I wrote down some questions here. I'm just going to throw it out so when you guys are talking here and giving us information, things that I thought about. How would the shooter properly explain why he shot? How did the shooter get in that position in the first place? What is the remorse ratio of someone shooting another in self-defense? I mean, do you have to have some type of outwardly appearance remorse ratio to show?
Well, this is what I was trying to say. This is why I started with the opinions of the jury, because you're going to have to answer all those questions dependent on who your jury is. And all those questions are going to be dependent on what their opinions are. And so I was talking to a guy about 2 days ago, and you know who you are. He's in here in Cameron, but a good guy, not a gun activist, so to speak, but definitely a gun rights, you know, advocate to some degree, not anybody that would want to take your gun control laws away. And he said, you know, what what is it with, you know, I don't think we should be carrying, you know, assault rifles or AR. Obviously, that's not what the AR stands for. Okay, but I don't think we should be carrying those rifles, like, right next to a bank. I mean, how are we going to know whether they're about to rob the bank or whether they're just walking down the street? He's like, well, we got to actually wait till they walk in the bank and start something. So I think, you know, in some degree, the people are going to ask, did you put yourself in a dumb situation with that weapon? And you got to remember, part of the statute is going to ask yourself, did you provoke the situation?
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at some of the facts as they occur. I mean, you know, being in court, there's going to be the story. Well, the story's already occurred. I mean, what has happened? I mean, when you have shot someone in self-defense, one of the first things you don't want to do is panic. You don't want to call 911 in a panic and a huff and be all excited. I mean, your adrenaline's going to be pumping. Things are going to be happening from whatever has happened. So the story as it develops, you want to remain calm, call 911. You don't want to leave the scene, for instance, because that looks bad to a jury. You don't want to tamper with the evidence. You don't want to, like, drag the body around, or, you know, you hear stories about, well, if I drag them in the house, you know, that's just bull. Don't tamper with the evidence. You don't want to have the gun in your hand when the police arrive. You know, if you call 911 and want some police assistance, you don't want to be brandishing your firearm when they show up. I mean, all this stuff is going to go into a report, and that's the sort of stuff the jury's going to hear.
From the get-go, from the start, you're just talking about after the fact, though.
Yeah,
I think from the beginning, one of the most important things to do is not put yourself in a situation where it looks like you provoked, right, the instigation of this, of the environment, of the circumstances, of the other person's attitude or emotions.
I mean, you can make a statement to the police, but probably you don't want to, particularly if things are not looking well for you. I mean, you could say something like, my gun is over there. That's the gun I used to shoot the attacker in self-defense. I'd rather talk to an attorney before I give any more information. Because if you give a statement, you think, well, I'm a smart guy. And, of course, you know, you think you're going to get away with knowing the good cop, bad cop thing. But you're not. I mean, their job is to go ahead and try to get a conviction for someone who's guilty, of course. But, you know, the story doesn't always come out in court like it does in real live action. So you want to be careful
And today, if a gun was used to kill somebody, even if it's invalid self-defense, people are going to want answers. And the cops are going to be on the hook, right, to try to make a case.
Yeah.
Right? So be knowledgeable that they're going to be pressure on them to at least try to make a case. If one's not there, that, you know, they may, but there is going to be pressure on the cops. I'm sorry, Rick. I mean, I just want to add that.
Oh, no, that's right. I mean, absolutely, I agree with you. What you don't want to do is try your case there with the police, because they're not on your side. That's your point. If you sit there and try to argue with them or lecture them about what kind of rights you have and don't have,
that's going to make you look crazy.
It's just going to make you, you know, and you need to be respectful. A lot of people don't like to use the word sir and ma'am. You know, I recommend that word every other word when you're talking to a police person these days.
I want to say something like this too. There's four questions of my clients. I tell them, if they want to take the stand, that, and the other side questions them, right, that they can say. They can say, yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, sir, but I need to explain. No, sir, but I need to explain. Okay?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, all right, and so, or yes, ma'am. You know, obviously, I wasn't trying to be sexist there. but you know what I'm saying. I mean, they get, and all their answers are involving no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am.
Yeah, especially in front of the jury, because they expect everyone to be respectful of the police and the district attorney. I mean, that's just part of the deal. If they think that you're respectful to the other people in the courtroom, they will have anticipated or expected that you would be respectful all the time. And, of course, people that are not respectful are the kind of people that are, in their minds, guilty of killing someone not in self-defense.
Rick, when you said you have to worry about the officer, is it due to the fact that it's not like he's taken a side? He's a recording device, and everything that's recorded will be dissected, so you have to be careful what you're saying. Is that what you mean?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. And again, you know, you're all pumped up with adrenaline. Things are happening. You know, there's there's decisions that police officers make on the spot. And, of course, those decisions are based on what they hear and what they see. So if you're giving them an incoherent story, they're going to think, well, this person is giving me an incoherent story.
I've already said this a bunch to you, but I want to ask Rick, how many times do people come in the office and you ask them to remember the facts? How many times do they get that story 100% right? Or even, let's say, how many times do they even get that 98% right?
Well, hardly ever. And, I mean, they never get it all right. And the problem I always have with clients is they get too much. I mean, I ask a simple question, and 10 minutes later, I'm going, now, wait a minute, you never have answered the question. So they get excited, of course, and when you get on the witness stand, that's another problem, is you get more adrenaline pumping, and they just want to tell their whole story. And really, it's a question and answer thing in the courtroom. Simple question, simple answer, yes, sir, no, ma'am, and stuff like that. Like Ross said, I mean, you got to keep it short and simple and to the point. Because beyond that shows excitement and sort of a concern for your well-being, if you may.
And you got to remember, I get, sometimes, even when I do an ALR hearing, simple ALR hearing over the phone, I do a State Office of Administrative Hearings, sometimes I have phone hearings, and I try to remember exactly what happened. I don't, because I was still, even as boring as a phone hearing is, right, it was a situation of adversity, right? There was an adversary on the other side. It was some excitement to some degree, right? And so you think about your situation being a possible suspect, right, in a homicide case, you are not going to be talking like you think you're talking. You're not going to be speaking like you think you're speaking. The things that you think are happening, right, I guarantee you they're going to look a whole nother way from a videotape.
And don't, when you just said videotape, don't they use the videotape to watch body expressions,
yes,
mannerisms and all that, right?
It depends. Like, I mean, obviously if you're in the house and they don't have the body cam on, okay, it'll be hard, but they will have their recording device on almost certainly, right? But if they do have their body cam on, the body cam is already going to be on their shoulder. It's going to be bouncing around. It kind of gives the scene an oblong shape anyway, okay? And you're already going to look bad, right, in the camera, just standing there. Like, I hate those in-car video cameras, the ones that reflect inside in the passenger seat or the back seat, because they always make my guy look intoxicated, whether he's intoxicated or not. And so on a DWI case, I hate when they play those tapes, because, yeah, he looks drunk, because the thing's all messed up, and he kind of looks like he's, you know, his head's bobbling like this. And so if you're moving and you're acting somewhat aggressively or nervously, it's just going to exacerbate that, okay? And it's going to make you look like, man, this guy was on something, or this guy was, like, way too excited, or what was wrong with this dude, okay? So take that in consideration. That's why Rick's saying it's better, you know, maybe tell them specific questions that they're asking you, but don't just start telling them the story. If they want to sit down and have a conversation, that's when you go, look, I got nothing against you. You know, I just listened to Benton Ross Watson and Rick Dodd and Mal on the radio show, and they told me I should probably talk to an attorney in this situation. Okay? So, I mean, whatever you want to say, but I think Rick's on point there, especially because the police have pressure these days to make a case on a gun killing issue.
That doesn't sound fair right from the get-go.
Well, you know it's true. I mean, if it's not true,
I didn't say it wasn't true.
It's cautionary. It's just taking caution.
Let's not go overboard and say the police are being unfair. The police have their job to do, and they're supposed to go out and find evidence to convict people if there's been a crime committed. Now, let's say we're all talking about no crime has been committed. It's all been done in self-defense.
Well, I'm not saying that the police are unfair. I didn't ever say that. I said the police are going to be pressured.
Oh, I agree with you. They're pressured to do that. I agree with you 100%, Ross, on what you said. I mean, they are pressured to find that evidence. That's their job. They're supposed to be doing that. So, yeah, if you're innocent, that's all great. But the point is that they're going to go out there and they don't know that like you know that. So you need to be very careful about what you say and do. Insofar as giving them information, don't try your case in front of the police out there on the scene. That's the point.
What I would hate is for you to say something on tape, and that somehow be made public, and then the people find out and go, "Why aren't you prosecuting this guy? He obviously said, and you said something dumb that didn't make sense."
Yeah.
Okay, that's the last thing you want happening, and then you got the DA going back in and taking a second look at the case. That's you don't want that.
Yeah, because public can put pressure on the district attorney if things come out in the news that just don't look good for you.
Shouldn't a district attorney not have to worry about pressure? Because I know where that's going. I totally get it because he gets elected. But shouldn't it be where he's like, I've been elected because I'm smart for this position. I've been elected by the people of the community because they feel I'm good enough for the job. Done deal. Let me do my job. I don't see it as a necessity to continue on with this case. Why can't they hold fast to their belief?
Well,
I did my opinion piece today. I'm getting ripped, okay? Man, but I'm stuck with my belief.
That's just opening up.
I admire a lot of the district attorneys in the state of Texas for that reason. And I admire a lot of unelected district attorney in this state because of that reason.
All right, whatever.
I mean, voters are fickle, okay? When you go to the voting booth, you got to take into the consideration what do they know. And generally, what they know is what they see on signs and reading advertisements when it comes to their elected officials. District attorneys, when they run for office, they can't really afford to get the word out like, you know, people who spend billions of dollars to get elected, your friend President Trump, and my president too, for that matter. But anyway, district attorneys' jobs are not such that they can spend a whole lot of money to get the word out on who they are. So a lot of the information that voters get just sort of comes to them piecemeal. And when you have a district attorney who stands up and say, look, I'm not going to do something that, you know, like 10 people want, those 10 people sometimes can have a way of getting the word out that they don't like him and that he's done something wrong, and they'll twist the facts. I mean, you know, sometimes someone deserves probation, but it doesn't look like they deserve probation just based on what's in the newspaper. But if you look deep into it, they may deserve it. Well, you know, suddenly the people out there are going, well, that district attorney messed up on that case because that person got probation. So,
but the district attorney hopefully has the experience and the knowledge to make the right decision and should stand with that and not worry about the effects of political office.
I agree that they should do that, but it is an elected office.
I mean, you can't.
And it is therefore political.
I mean, you cannot ignore politics completely in that position. I mean, it is impossible, I would say, to completely ignore politics. There's just no way to do it.
I guess I'm just a realist here. Not a realist. I'm trying to be a purist, which is almost impossible to do in this world. I want to find this common thread that all humanity will follow. And outside that thread, you can have all these different opinions as long as the common thread of decency, respect, law is upheld. But it seems even the common thread gets twisted.
Well, Matt, what is your common thread may not be my common thread, right?
Because we all have different experiences.
That's right.
Well, no, that's not true.
We do.
No.
We don't have different experiences.
Here we go. Because the law on the books is black and white. But you guys tell me how they can turn it into gray.
Oh, I don't think it's black and white, even on the books. We talk about words that are ambiguous all the time.
Yeah, all the time. The word at what? At there or at something else? I mean, It's just.
All right, I'm going to back out of this one. Guys, keep going. But what I would like, though, is a revamp of, Rick, let's say, for example, let's say I got to defend myself. Let's go over it again, step by step, because in my head, I'm not going to talk. But I got to be careful, like you're saying, I got to be careful why and how I don't talk to make it look like I'm not guilty. I want to say just certain things. I knew I had to stop this guy.
Reasonable belief was immediately necessary.
So when the officer comes up to me, what I would say, officer, I felt threatened. I had to stop him from hurting me. I want him arrested. So on and so forth.
A reasonable belief that it was immediately necessary.
Yeah. Had to do it. He's the attacker.
And I want my attorney.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you know, and let's not get wrapped up in all the attorney stuff, too. This is a traumatic situation when you have shot someone else. There are long...
Is it really, if you saved a woman who's being raped,
well,
and the person's getting kidnapped, I'd be going right on, man.
Well, be careful with that, Matt. That's why you need to keep your mouth shut when the police show up.
Okay, well, that's why I'm asking.
When they video you going, right on, I got him, aha.
Then I'll say, I need to speak to my attorney when I have this big freaking grin from ear to ear.
Well, man. Okay, so you don't think it's a serious event to have taken someone's life? So it would be, okay, and you know it would be, Matt. I know you're kind of joking here. There are long-term consequences with that. It does cause a feeling of depression, and some people get post-traumatic stress disorder from that sort of situation, even if it's a situation as you describe. But they're not all that clear, okay? Mm-hmm. They're not all that clear. You can have an immediate threat and then later think, well, gosh, was it really immediate? The story changes even in your own mind.
If somebody breaks in my house and I have to stop them, you're right, I will be distressed because then I got to get the carpet cleaned. I may have to fill in some holes in the wall. So, yes, it is very stressful.
Well, they're not all that clear, though, okay? If you have an immediate threat to yourself, the perception is immediate, okay? And then later you start second-guessing it. And things can occur. And so what my point is there that if those things occur, that is not untypical. And, you know, some counseling might be beneficial. Counseling with someone who does reinforce the fact that it was immediate threat and that you did the necessary thing. And it helps. I mean,
now, ladies and gentlemen, if you got a license to carry or if you're a gun owner or whatever and you're not calling here to ask a question, you're crazy. You got free advice. It's 254-697-6633. You got two great attorneys here. Give us a call and tell us what's on your mind.
I mean, the same questions apply, you know, whether we're talking about a gun or a knife or a fist fight. I mean, it doesn't really matter as far as the belief is going to be the same, except for was it reasonably necessary to believe I needed to use deadly force? Okay, so when it comes down to self-defense aspects, it's still, did I have a reasonable belief that it was immediately necessary to fight back? Okay, and there's going to be the presumption that I did, that I had all that if I'm in my house, if I'm in my car, if I'm in my office.
Absolutely.
Okay, and the person is trying to get in.
Well, that's what I say all the time. I say, look, nobody's going to know the line has been crossed except you.
Yeah, but we're talking about, let's say you're out at the park, okay, and you feel like somebody is about to be attacked with deadly force, okay, and you want to step in and save that person. And this is the issues that are complicated.
Yeah, and let's just say you're at a park at a barbecue and there's a couple of coolers of beer over there and a bunch of empty beer cans, even if you haven't drank any at all. I mean, that starts to complicate things because those are facts.
Yeah. And do you have a right to be where you are? Right? Are you otherwise breaking the law? If you've had one, two, three beers, are you committing public intoxication? From a defense attorney standpoint, we say, hell no, because you got to be drunk and a danger to yourself or others. But the prosecutor's going to say, well, he was a danger to others because he killed somebody.
Hey, I got a question concerning that. What if you're home and you're having a few, okay? You've had probably enough, and somebody breaks in your home and you defend yourself. How does that work?
Well, you're defending yourself in your home. I think Ross and I are talking about situations outside the home.
No, I understand that, but he brought up the alcohol thing. I'm just saying, what if your senses were a little bit disturbed in your home from enjoying a drink or two, and somebody breaks in, you're in your castle, it's 2:00 in the morning, somebody breaks in, but is your judgment impaired?
No, I don't think so. They're in your house. I mean, the truth is the truth there, Matt. It's, you know, the examples you're giving about rape and all that in the home and things, those things are pretty clear. But I think where we get concerned is when something happens in situations where the police are actually putting cuffs on you and carrying you off.
And I mean, there's been just a ton of cases where police go and execute warrants, right, on really bad guys, okay, really bad guys, and they shoot at the police and kill the police officer, and they don't get charged for that, okay? And it's because maybe the police didn't knock and announce.
Yeah, I've heard that.
They just busted down the door. I mean, they know that it was reasonable for that person being in their house to think somebody else was coming in if they didn't know it was the police.
Well, good point. That makes
okay,
a good point.
Okay, and so... Yeah, those kinds of scenarios. I'm not saying that they never get charged.
Look,
but
here's how I look at it. When I have a question, I'm an average, normal Joe. I'm nobody special.
And they
there's
get charged
hundreds and thousands of people who just thought that same question. So you guys just clarified it very nicely. So it's very good.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. So if you're somewhere else though, if you're a young woman that's running on the track in Buffalo Bayou down in Houston, and you're confronted when you turn the corner next to the medical establishments down there you know, because it gets a lot of trees down in that part, and some big guy accosts you. Is it okay for you to pull out, you know, a knife from the back? You know, you got a strap, you got maybe a holster strap to hold it back here. Is it okay to pull it out and stab him so that you can get away?
So what's the definition of accost, though? You know, it's like...
Exactly.
She may feel accosted, even though she's never been touched.
And that's why we use the definition of the reasonable belief. What did the girl reasonably believe she needed to do in that situation to keep herself safe? Okay? And that's what they're going to ask you. And so, yes, these pinpointed questions are tough to tell you this and that and this and that and this and that, because their life, that's why the Google self-driving car, the Uber car, Google probably sued me for saying the wrong one, right? But that's why one of the cars hit the person, because we're not ready for life yet. Life, it has so many circumstances and steps and chance and opportunity and motives and experiences, and people react differently, that we're just not... There's so many things to take in consideration that it must be had on what lawyers call a case by case basis. There's no way to, you know, say any one case is going to be the same.
Well, that's true. I mean,
but I can assure you in those kinds of cases where we have somebody in the house, in their car, in their office, and somebody's trying to get in, those are the ones where you are going. People are gonna, you're gonna have the law is gonna be on your side.
Yeah, yeah. You're probably not gonna get carted away with handcuffs on those situations.
Okay, and so I mean, and just know, like you just said, did you save a rape victim or something? If you're making that determination, you need to at least make 1 second look into the circumstances. Is this a lady getting raped, or did she attack this man?
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way too. All different ways.
Oh, I'm gonna say this before I go, because you just offended me. Do you think you did? I'm offended. Do you think women? Do you think there are men out there who do not get attacked by women?
Oh no, I know they do.
I can tell you, I've had a woman, right, that I was trying to defend a male because she accused him of assault. This woman was so mad that we won the case. She starts kicking out her truck windows.
During the trial?
During the trial.
And the defense was self-defense?
Yes. During the trial, she starts kicking out her door windows. Right? Because her cross-examination, she just was totally, right? We killed her.
Well, congratulations on that one.
Okay. I have guys, I represent girls all the time that are charged with assault on their significant other. You think women don't have the... I was going to say probably a word was not allowed on the...
Wherewithal.
FCC. Yeah, wherewithal to go after another male. That's just not true. And it's a common assumption that is untrue. And, I mean, yes, more times a girl is the one getting assaulted, but I assure you that there are plenty of cases when women go after men, right? And they win, okay?
And they feel... like they will win because the common perception, because of our world's life experiences, is that doesn't happen, Matt. So some of the folks that are in the pit, so to speak,
right,
know that it happens.
All right, guys, let's, within the next minute, give me a wrap-up. Wrap this up. Put it all together. Do your legalese or whatever you want to say to make it...
Reasonable belief that it was immediately necessary to use the force that you used in order to get the result that was reasonably necessary to be used to get the result that you needed.
Yeah. And it really... reasonable ability to convince whoever it is that's judging you, right?
No, yeah. I think that if you are truly reasonable and you've really... Right, you had training from Matt and you don't just go off the handle and use your weapon, right? That if you've really... not put yourself, if you're not committing a crime when you're doing it, okay? If you've had a couple beers or something at the park, in my opinion, you haven't committed a crime, okay? Right? But I think, you know, if you're going to a situation and arguing with the person, that's already a strike against you. If you're arguing with this person, that's a strike against you. If this person doesn't like you, you know this individual, y'all don't like each other, that's a strike against you.
And we all judge everything in our own mind. Now, is it really reasonable for the person that Ross talked about to be carrying a gun?
No, probably not.
Probably not, but we have the Constitution that says we have that right. Even if you're the kind of person that's going to kick the windows out of your car because you're angry.
I want to make something clear. You two guys with a few other people took my class, okay? And I think you can say that
it's a pretty awesome class, by the way.
Well, thank you. But I think you could say and agree, and if not, let me know, that my class, I really design it in a manner where I don't want you to pull your gun. I try.
Oh, absolutely.
I try for you to. I mean, we teach certain things in the class that are required by law, like nonviolent dispute resolution, gun safety and handling, the laws, the whole works. And every time we get to a certain situation where, can you do this with a weapon? Yeah. Do you want to? No. It's not worth it, and all this kind of stuff. So, what we're trying to do here is, remember, you don't always have to go that route. The more prepared you are mentally, physically, mechanically, meaning how to use your weapon, you might be able to have more options. And I always use this analogy, too. I have a deck of cards, and I get the ace card. The ace card is the gun. The picture cards are methods of getting out of it, like talking the person down, running away, calling 911, unarmed defensive tactics, weapons of...
Opportunity,
thank you. All these different things, all these picture cards. And when you run out of picture cards, you use your ace card. Now, what's the trick? Get a pinochle deck. Pinochle deck has many more picture cards. So the more little tricks you have up your sleeve to get out of a situation, the better before you have to pull out the ace card.
You right. want to be able to say more than, I saw a black kid in a hoodie.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what came out in the... Zimmerman in Florida.
Okay? And you want to be able to say more than I saw an illegal person crossing the border too, Matt.
I had a conversation about this. What I was saying was this. A lot of people read bullet points. I take the bullet point and go into depth. I'm not saying not everybody does that, but I know a lot of people don't. They're bullet mentality. They just read the headline and they don't study it and read it. And I don't do a show to talk about that. I do it for my personal information, and so when I do opinion pieces, I get how people will be against my thought process. But like you said, I've studied it according to my information, and I come up with these analyses, and that's why it's called an opinion piece.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we get our information from where we get it. If you go get the Temple Daily Telegram and you look at, you know, the past 25 issues, you might have an opinion that... things are one way, and somebody who reads a different newspaper might have a different opinion.
That's true. Exactly. That's why I try to diversify in different news sources. But anyway, look, time's running out. Guys, I can't thank you enough. Rick, always appreciate the support for the show. Ross, you coming on all the time is great, and both of you on is spectacular. So tell everybody how they can get a hold of y'all.
Go ahead, Rick.
Well, I'm here in Cameron, been here for 35 years, down on Houston Street, same street all the banks are on.
Makes it easier.
Right now we're working on different things. One of the things my office is working on is Roundup, having to do with causing leukemias. We have all sorts of chemicals out there, and of course that's just one of them that we've used widespread. Over 80% of women's breast milk have traces of Roundup in it these days. It's used on all of our food sources. And if someone has any kind of leukemias or cancers that, and they've used a lot of Roundup or been in that proximity, they ought to give us a call.
So baby's getting poisons right from the tap.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep. Well, you know, it's one of those things that, it's on the one hand, makes life good, and on the other hand, makes some lives, disappear.
Ross, what do you got?
Oh, I'm just at 105 East Main down here with the cattle pens. You guys come see me. They even got the cow on the side of the building.
Something extra on that building?
Yeah, we had it on the back. Yeah.
All right, everybody. Another great segment. We thank you for listening. The number here is 254-697-6633. Give us a call. Ross, Rick, thank you very much. Trey, take us out. We'll see you on the other side. And we'll probably most likely go ready to delicious. Janae, good night.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bowls. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples, then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Hello, my lovelies, and thanks for tuning in to a truly tactical segment of Tactical Snacking with me, Janae Goodman. I've got a very special request this week to give you the ins and outs of what food you should pack in your bug-out bag. I figured I should start the segment with a reminder of what a bug-out bag is. So, if you're a regular listener, you would know that it is an emergency bag that you want to prepare ahead of time for when things go south. So basically, if you need to make a quick getaway in an emergency situation, you have your survival essentials with you. I can't think of anything that would be more essential than sustenance, and that being your food source. Here are a few things you want to keep in mind when packing food in your bug-out bag. Make sure your food choices are non-perishable, lightweight, and involve very little to no cooking. You don't want anything that'll spoil or anything that's going to take a ton of preparation. That said, you'd also don't want to pack any canned items or go crazy on bulky ready-to-eat meals. Nutrition content is an important factor as well. Customize it for your personal needs and consult your doctor or dietitian if you have any health-related dietary restrictions. For instance, if you have diabetes, celiac, or kidney disease, your bug-out essentials may look a little bit different. Diabetics may want to pack a couple of items that'll spike sugar levels in the case of an unsafe drop in blood sugar. Liver disease patients may stray away from large amounts of proteins and sodium, and celiacs, of course, would want to stray away from any gluten-based products. At the end of the day, no bug-out bag is going to look the same. For all my normies out there, this is not your time for any low-fat diet options. It is best to pick foods that are higher in calories and have a balanced amount of carbs, proteins, and fats. Trust me, you're going to need them if you're following up with an emergency plan. You need to keep in stable condition and make sure you have plenty of energy. I think dehydrated foods or dried snacks go right on the top of this list. That includes jerky, which can be found in a variety of flavors, and it can last up to 2 years if it's unopened. Jerky is low in calories, but it's a straight shot of protein. Dried foods also include fruits such as apples, bananas, apricots, and cranberries, which are all higher in sugar content, which will equate to carbs when digested. They also have a decent number of calories in them. Protein and meal replacement bars come in all sorts of brands and flavors. Clif, Kind, and Lara bars, just to name a few. Try them out and find your favorites. They're relatively cheap and they have a decent shelf life when kept at room temperature. Not to mention that they take the place of a meal and they can come in a convenience travel size pouch. I don't recommend you making your own protein or granola bars because you want to be able to have a preservative in them to make sure that they last for a while. Other lightweight protein-packed snacks include peanut butter, assorted nuts such as peanuts and cashews, and fish or chicken vacuum pouches. Peanut butter comes in an individual size cup or squeeze pouches for on-the-go use. They're a perfect size for a packed bag. This is the same for your vacuum pouches and nut packets. Water is a must for your bug-out bag. You can last up to 60 days without food, but without water, your body can't survive more than a week. If you're not up for keeping a bottle of water in your bag just for the sake of space or weight, at least invest in water purification tablets. They're used to treat water sources that are deemed unsafe to drink, and a simple internet search can find you a very low-cost, yet very effective product. Water should be kept on hand for hydration, of course, and can also be used to reconstitute shelf-stable or dried foods, such as powdered milk or dried mashed potato flakes. Wherever salt goes, water goes. This was an important tip shared by a very close friend of mine. Celine Burns has a degree and background in recreational activity, and she informed me that salt makes your body hold on to water. So consuming salt when water may be in limited supply could potentially save your life. Salt also helps replace electrolytes that get lost as we sweat. She suggests packing ramen noodle blocks to help you with your salt retention. These noodle blocks are great because they can be eaten both cooked and uncooked, and they don't cost you more than 20 cents per package. Going through Harvey, I oversaw the kitchen essentials preparation in the event of the power outage. Turns out I wasn't the only one, because after dealing with Hurricane Ike a few years back, many Houstonians did not want to relive being unprepared for a week-long power outage. I could tell by the lack of grilling and propane supplies I had to choose from in the grocery store. This did, however, lead to me stumbling across a very neat item. It was an emergency stove, or folding stove, that was basically a sterno underneath an aluminum frame. Now, this does take up a little bit of room in your bag, of course less than a grill would, but if you feel like you need a heat source and you don't think that you're a great fire starter, I would definitely recommend it to you. Regardless of if you're a regular fire starter or you're brand new to this, pack a stick lighter. It's best to be prepared for anything. Matt says it often enough, but I think it bears repeating. Fail to prepare and prepare to fail. Now is the time to get your essentials in check, and be sure to write down your food items in your bug-out bag checklist. As always, hit me up at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com with your questions for this and other segments. Stay safe out there, and until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over.
Reality starts now. Aaron'sGunShop.com. It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you all are having a great day today. Here it is. We're approaching Easter next Sunday. You know, it's a beautiful day out today. It's a little bit on the crowded side. It's going to be a wonderful day. You know, I started thinking about what to do today and what to talk about. We've covered a lot of things the last year and a half. And sometimes we cover some things that are a repeat. But, you know, I started looking at the weather forecast. And, you know, this coming Wednesday, we're supposed to have anywhere from 3 to 4 inches of rain, maybe a little more. You know, and you look in California, how they were inundated by floods. And then the Midwest is being inundated by floods with snowbelt, you know, Ohio and Shenandoah River valleys. So I thought about today what we'd talk about is how to survive some natural disasters, particularly how to survive a flood. You know, when it comes to flood, nobody is immune from that. Cameron, the Little River, all the areas have sustained some type of flood damage in the years past. I know that when it rains, you know, a lot of the lower-lying areas around Little River seem to flood and cuts off roads, cuts off people. So I thought we'd do is, we'd try to remind ourselves about the devastation that floods cause. You know, they're going to happen every year. Usually you have floods followed by drought, drought followed by floods, et cetera. You know, properties get destroyed and lives are lost. And, you know, the recovery from that is painful and difficult at the best. If any of you have traveled down to the Houston area in the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 months, you know, even though a hurricane or a tropical storm Harvey was some six to eight months ago, the devastation is very evident still. People's lives still have been disrupted. People still have white blue tarps in their house, their furniture, all their worldly goods that they built in their house still piled up front. The trash people, the refuse people can't keep up with it. So I thought we'd talk about today is how we're going to survive a flood. You know, I don't think we'll have the devastating floods that we have here in our area that a lot of the other areas of Texas or the United States has, but everybody is at one time going to have to deal with high water and what floods can do for people. You know, the overflow of large bodies of water is effective. It causes many events. You know, maybe it's from heavy rainfall. If you lived in the Houston area, they had levees that broke. They had dams that were near breaking. You know, we have some major dams here that have overflowed in the last 100, supposedly what they call it, the 100-year flood, and it's overflowed twice in the last 20 years. So, you know, it's just not just the water. But what the water does, it causes houses, cars, trees, and, you know, sometimes it even washes out bridges or weakens bridges. And that's important for us to understand. It's not just what the flood does to homes. It's what it does to all the surrounding areas. It's important to remember that there, you know, there's, in that flood, there's more than water. The debris that it carries are not always visible, and sometimes this stuff can break stuff. If you've ever been to a large creek or a large river that is flooding, you can see massive trees floating down the river, or you can see other things bobbing up and down the water. And that is going to, when it hits something, it's going to cause some damage. You know, during a flood, going for higher ground as soon as possible is our best bet, but that's not always possible. Remember, though, that when there's rain, there may be a flood. And preparing for natural disaster is still the best way to ensure survival. And we teach in this radio show about survival in your homes, about personal survival, about gun survival, about how to use your gun, how to use this, that, or the other. But we also, number one, have to do is teach us how to take care of ourselves. Now, whether it's a flood coming or it's happening or it's past, we need to take heed of some things to be able to help us skip through that ordeal. Now, what is the best way to prepare and what is the worst way to be prepared? Well, first off, the best way to be prepared is to be prepared before it happens. You know, there are some things that we need to do right off the bat. Every homeowner, every human, every car that travels should have some type of a survival kit in it. I know that many of us in this area have to travel in our jobs, We go from probably here to maybe Houston or maybe Austin or Waco, or even if you have to travel just a mile from your home, you know, there's going to be a chance that you're going to go through flooded streets. You're going to go through maybe across low water crossings and things of that nature. But you need to have an emergency kit right off the bat. And so what do you put in an emergency kit for a flood? Now, we've talked about emergency kits for other things and other survival attitudes, but there are some things that we need to do and we need to look at for a flood survival kit. In your back of your car, in your SUV, wherever you may have, you need to have at least a three-day water supply. You know, a couple of gallons of water. Put you some water in there. You know, and have some type of food products. I know that there is a, Janae talked about just a few minutes ago about some survival foods that you can have. Well, put that survival food, put those needs together in the kit and keep in your car for you. You also need to have a really good flashlight. A trouble with flashlights, and trouble with a lot of people who have flashlights, is that they don't keep them charged or they don't check them. You need to charge your flashlights. You need to keep your flashlights charged. You need to check them once in a while. And if you need to, have a get you a one of the hand crank NOAA battery radios, or even one of the hand crank small flashlights, something that can draw attention. You know, I normally don't endorse a lot of people or a lot of businesses. Of course, we've got some really great businesses that support this show, but the ones that if you need some equipment, you need some things to survival. I'm going to give you a website that's really interesting because it gives a lot of tips about other things. But if you get a chance, go to www.survivallife.com. That's www.survivallife.com. They not only have a lot of good products there that are relatively cheap for survival, but they also have a lot of things on there to give you tips and ideas. And we're going to start talking next week about some ideas that came from that particular area about your handguns and some laws that apply to it, et cetera. Now, along those same lines, with your kit, you need to have some small first aid kit and maybe a 3 or 4 or 5 day supply of your medication put away. You also, one of the best things you can buy, and I know a lot of people have them. I know a lot of people lose them and don't keep up with them, but get you a good survival tool, a Gerber or something of that nature that has a multi-use. Also some hygiene and some personal equipment. Maybe some deodorant, maybe if you're a female, some sanitary napkins. Anything that you need that you just have to survive on. Now, one of the things that I will tell you is that you, and a lot of people don't do this, and this is one of the things that I think is one of the biggest mistakes people make, is that you need to have in your kit some plastic bags, some sealable plastic bags. You know, your personal effects, whether it may be your insurance card, your driver's license, or security card, that needs to keep from getting wet. You need to put that, as long as in your home, too, put that in some kind of a bag that you can actually seal it and survive with it. You know, of course, you need some extra keys. You need some, maybe some rain gear, some, definitely some insect repellent. But, you know, things like that are important to go in your kit. And if anybody ever has any ideas or any questions about some things that specifically need to go in your kit, feel free to give me a call or feel free to email me. And once again, my email address is randydixon76502@gmail.com. That's randydixon76502@gmail.com. Feel free to text me. Feel free to send me an email on anything or any questions about this radio show or anything else that you might have questions about. You know, I've 45 years experience in law enforcement. So any words or any wisdom that you might need or anything that you might need me to help answer, please feel free to give me a holler. Now, during a flood, communication is the key. Keep up with the news. Keep up with your area. You'll know and a local storm spotter has put a lot of information out. They give us good information. But no information is good if we don't listen to it or we don't heed it. So when you hear information, listen well to it. Listen very, very carefully to what you have. Look for warnings. If a flood is likely in your area, make sure you stay tuned to your radio or your television show. You know, was it Sunday before last or maybe even last Sunday that we had some pretty devastating storms that came through south of Milam County down in the Caldwell area? Over 200 cars with baseball, softball side hail came through. And that's part of the flood process as well. Now, know the difference between a flood watch and a flood warning. Yeah, and I know we've repeated this. We've told you. We've told people before. A flood watch is something that could happen, and a warning means it does is happening. Know the difference. If you have drains or gutters or downspouts around your house, have them cleared before the rain starts. If out in front of your house you have a storm drain that you know has got full of leaves, don't depend on the city to come clean it out for you. Take a rake, take a hoe, and pull that stuff out. Pull it out well, clear it away. And in your own personal house, if you live in an area that is storm prone, number one, roll up your rugs. Now, why do you want to roll your rugs up? Well, if you get 1 inch of water inside your home, or even 2 inches of water inside your home, that's going to soak your carpet. It's going to soak your rugs. The worst thing that happens after a flood is the mildew that develops in the mildew that is created by the floodwaters. So get a step on it, get a step ahead, and roll your rugs up and put them up on higher ground. You know, we talked about the evacuation kit and how to prepare yourselves. But, you know, if your house starts flooding, one thing you need to do right away, if you can, is turn the power off. Kill the power to your house if you think water is going to get into your home. Number one, it's going to keep the chance of electricity from traveling through different areas of the house and keep you from getting electrocuted. Shut it off. Know how to shut it off. Move your appliances. If you have appliances that, stove, washer, dryer, et cetera, lift them up, put them up on blocks a little way. That way you're safer. That way you've got less damage that may take place. Now, if you have to evacuate, make sure that every person in your family has the same plan. Make sure everybody is on the same page. Have your cell phones charged up. Have them ready to go. You know, listen to where we're going to go. Tell everybody to be there. If they're not home, call them and tell them to meet you somewhere. Now, during a flood, if you're caught in a flood, number one, everybody knows, 2 inches of water going across a roadway will actually move a smaller vehicle. Don't take chances. What's the old saying? Turn around, don't drown. Listen carefully to that. Turn around, don't drown. Avoid streams. If your house is flooded, get up on the roof of your house. Get away from it so you can have protection. Stay clean. Stay calm. Keep the floodwaters and soap. As soon as the floodwaters stop, disinfect it. And watch for things crawling around in the waters. You know, that was one of the biggest problems down in Harvey, was that there were snakes, there were other mammals and reptiles crawling around in the water. We live in a snake-prone area here. Watch for those. Have a stick. You know, there's a lot of things that we talk about. Know your surroundings, too. Know what to do around your surroundings. You know, stay away from the areas that are going to be. In the Milam County area, you know that you've got to cross some of the creeks or little river. Stay away from those creeks and little as you drive. Give a wide berth. Don't risk it. It's just not worth it. Don't risk it. So, folks, I've talked fast today because there's a lot of material I wanted to cover. Some of it I hadn't been able to cover. If you have questions, please let me know. Go to that survivallife.com website. And once again, I hope everybody has a great week. Next week, I look forward to we're going to start talking about some things a little bit different, about some responsibilities, some laws, and how they affect you and what happens if you do have to use your gun. And I think it's going to be a good segment for a couple of Saturdays. So keep your radio tuned on. Be safe, everybody, and God bless y'all. Take care.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms,
4-17. Everybody, the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's the, what day is it? 24th of March, 2018. We're here for another 40 minutes or so. And we're doing our product spotlight now, sponsored by ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Ladies and gentlemen, Arch Kuntz is an awesome guy. He's got a great business there in Heidenhammer. It's ANC Firearms. The number is 254-983-4417. Like Rick Dodd, he's a sponsor to the program. And I ask that you support our sponsors because they support the show. If you like what you're hearing and you want more of it, we need more sponsors. And if there's anybody out there looking to sponsor the program or promote your business through this program, we've got some opportunities available for you. So just give us a call here or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, and I can get a conversation going with you about that. But right now we're going to be talking about the Ruger LCP, the 380. But let's talk about this. Before I get into this article that I'm going to take bits and pieces from, I want to explain a little bit about the LCP Ruger. When the LCP Ruger, the Ruger LCP 380 came out the first time, everybody was excited, and I was excited too. Compact, well-made caliber that everybody's familiar with. The problem with the Ruger LCP, the first one, was the trigger was terrible. It was a terrible trigger. Because it was so small and the trigger was so bad, it required a shooter to really pull on the trigger, which would most of the time cause the shots to go low. As you're pulling the trigger, the barrel's going to point down. Forget about it. Not going to do it. Well, they got enough complaints, and they made the second generation, basically, of the LCP. And the trigger was a dramatic change. And I can't tell you enough, it turned it into a fantastic little firearm. And then, of course, they got the LCP-2. And all that is a different configuration, a little bit better sight, so on and so forth. But what we're going to talk about today is the LCP 380, the second generation, the one with the trigger enhancement. because at ANC Firearms, they have that available. They've got all, I mean, they've got the LCP2, they've got the LCP with the better trigger and all that. And if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, you'll see the picture of it there with the price. And it's a nice flat earth color. And I've got it placed in a wallet holster. The wallet holster is a little bit extra, but you can see how you could utilize it for your back pocket or so. And it's a pretty neat little package. This article, I got it off the survivalblog.net. It's by a contributor, so I'm going to take bits and pieces of it to give you an idea about the gun. So here we go. Not being an impulse buyer, I spent quite a bit of time reading up on the Ruger LCP380 before buying my little pocket rocket. I wanted to make sure that my money got what I expected. I did, and then some. I am pleased and not sorry I bought this gem. The Ruger LCP380 is a quality weapon, not showy, just my style. She does what I need her to do, be there to protect me and mine. Size and weight were included in the criteria for my first concealed carry weapon. Around 12 ounces loaded. Weight was a shoe-in. Size, also a go. My hand nearly conceals the entire pistol, and they have smallish hands. The pinky extension is available option to improve grip availability. I'm sorry, grip ability. I needed it to begin with, but may just switch back to none. So that's the personal preference of the shooter there. Width was a real factor. And that's a factor for me, too. I like the gun thin for a concealable gun because I don't want deformity in my clothing, which makes it say, hey, I got a gun there. But width was a factor. To fit my waistband, it needed to be slim. At just about 3/4 of an inch, the LPC, the LCP excels. There is no safety. You can choose to have 7 rounds, 6 plus 1 in the chamber. My personal choice is 6 and an empty chamber. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm totally opposed to that. A weapon without a round in the chamber is like having a spare tire with no air in it. It's worthless because an attack's probably going to happen in 3 to 4 seconds, and you just take up 2 seconds trying to load the weapon. So don't. In my opinion, do not keep a weapon with an unloaded chamber. Being a southpaw, right-handed safeties are awkward. I'm a southpaw, and I've got one, and no, it's not really. If I feel the need, I just chamber one in advance of a questionable situation. And how do you know when that questionable situation is going to happen? That's me talking. Like coyote-infested berry patches or snake-infested forests or traveling through a bad part of town at night. Ladies and gentlemen, anywhere could be a potential threat, so keep that thing loaded. Although the mag release is right-handed, I can release and reload the mag left-handed without fear of dropping her. There is a 15-round mag available for target practice. Screw that. Shoot and practice like you're going to carry the weapon. Keep the short mag in it. The Ruger LCP380 is very easy to shoot. I concur. The Ruger LCP380 is very easy to shoot, especially for smaller hands. Trigger pull is long but smooth. Actually, it's really, if you compare it from the first generation to the second generation, it's got a nice little crisp trigger pull, so it's pretty good. Recoil is nominal for this lightweight gun. I could shoot a couple of hundred rounds without aggravating my carpal tunnel. Accuracy is good. I can't brag about a 4-inch spread at 25 yards because I don't shoot that well. Seriously, this isn't for 25 yards. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got the gun and I shot it and I hit bullseyes at quite a distance. It is capable of hitting bullseyes at 25 yards. You just got to know what you're doing. Let's see, the drawbacks and durability. Nothing is perfect, of course, resembling a bit of a challenge. One must pull the slide back against the spring with oily hands, naturally, and insert a very small pin in a tiny hole with a spring in it. What they're saying is when they break the gun apart, because everything is tight, you know, you're cleaning it, your hand's a little bit slippery, it might be a little bit awkward to put it together, but really it's no big deal. The sights are small, hard for me to see. Red paint on the front sight solved the problem. But ladies and gentlemen, this is a gun used for self-defense at close proximity. You're not going to be aiming. If you aim the gun at close proximity, you're going to lose because you're not going to have the time. It's point shooting, and I teach that in my classes. You want to learn how to shoot fast without sights. I'm telling you, sights are detrimental in a self-defense situation. They will get you killed. The only change I would make in the purchase of this wee little pea shooter is that I would have a laser. Maybe simplicity is good, and maybe a laser is too. I would have bought the Ruger LCP380 sooner if I had known about it. Ladies and gentlemen, lasers, if you don't know how to shoot a laser, do not put it on your gun. That is my opinion. I have seen it all too many times. People with lasers try to beat the laser. And when you beat the laser, the gun does not hit where it's supposed to hit. Trust me, I've seen it way too many times. This is not my only firearm. Long, short, auto, and revolver. We've owned many calibers. This .380 is still just as sweet. I plan to loan it to my... Okay, whatever. I know folks could rattle off all kinds of specs and clinical details, but my life is not a laboratory setting. It's on the farm and at work, shopping, camping, hiking, etc. And that part I can relate. When I get a gun to shoot, I don't care about ballistics. I don't care about, of course I do, in the sense that I want to make sure I know what it is. But I'm not going to be doing accuracy tests and velocities and all this kind of stuff. A 380 is basically a 380 at close range. A 9mm is a 9mm at close range. It's going to do what it's supposed to do as long as the accuracy is there, okay? I do notice a comfortable gun to carry, hold, and shoot is the LCP 380. A trigger pull that doesn't make my hand quiver. It's a double action only. And she still has money for groceries after buying it. So this gal is quite pleased with the Ruger LCP 380. I hope you enjoy my Ruger LCP 380 review. It was okay. It got basically the points done. And since I have one myself, and I can tell you, it's a compact, skinny, thin little firearm that can get the job done. It's extremely accurate. The second generation and the LCP 2 have very good triggers. If you had one before and you're like, oh my gosh, I got rid of it because the trigger was so bad, well, take a relook at it because the trigger has been greatly improved. You can get yours right now at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Call them at 254-983-4417. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Take a look at the picture there. You'll see the price tag, the flat dark earth one that they have in the store. They got a few of them there, actually. And if they sell out, they can get you some more. So check them out at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, 254-697-4417. Arch Kuntz is the owner. You can talk to Clint, Mike, or Dennis, and they'll square you away. Tell them you heard it on the radio and support the people who support the show. ANC Firearms is one of those people. Trey, let's take it out with a break. When we come back, we're going to have our very own in-house legal immigrant, Zoltan Varga. We're going to be talking about AK-47s versus AR-15s. Talk to you.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We've got our in-house legal immigrant here, Zoltan Varga. Zoli, make sure you're talking to that mic, brother. It's good to have you on the show again. People look forward to hearing your history lessons and your comparisons and your gun reviews and all that. And today's going to be no different. And I asked what you were going to talk about, and you were talking about the comparisons between the AK and the AR, which you are well adept in both. Due to your history, why don't you say hi and give people just a real quick history of who you are and what you've done and how come you know so much?
My name is Zoltan, and I was born and raised in Hungary. I served 13 years in the Hungarian Defense Forces, where both of the AR-15 full automatic version, the M4 and the AK-47 is in use. So we were I was trained with both of them and know them pretty well.
You know, it's a long debate which one's better, and I always say, man, when the zombies come, I'm putting down the AR and I'm picking up the AK. That's what I say, because I know that AK is going to work every freaking time I use it.
Well, that's absolutely true, because first of all, in the AR there's a lot of pros and cons with it and against it. The ARs, technically, most of the people who lives in America or served in NATO forces or familiar with it, you can easily put any kind of rail system and put on lights, IRs, scopes, dress up like a Christmas tree.
Right.
Pretty easy without that, really guns missing.
I wanted to make one point, though. Most of the time, I'm going to just say most of the time, there will be other exceptions, that the AR would be in a city platform where it's cleaner. It doesn't have more chance of getting dirty from, like, the sandbox there in Afghanistan or Iraq and all that kind of stuff, where the tight tolerances of the AR could get messed up. So here in, like, cities, you'd think that'd be really good for precision and stuff.
ARs will be always more precise than AKs because it machined with way smaller tolerance. Mm-hmm. And but in the other hand, I think when Eugene Stoner designed his gun, he went in the same mistake as the Germans went in the Second World War, using too small tolerances, get dirty too easy, cold weather, it stucks up.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you disassemble for just a simple cleaning, there are at least three parts that you easily can lose.
That's right, yeah. That's right. I'll tell you what, we're going to be doing this as a video later. Right here, this is the, I'll tell you what, Zoli, you do it and explain what you want to explain, but we got the M4 here. That one's the 300 blackout that I've got.
Oh yeah, that's another thing in the ARs. Like, you can easily build your own gun that just for you. Like, you can choose from countless calibers, mm-hmm, barrel length, size, designs, and everything. Like, you can technically totally personalize your own firearm.
I know you've done that because you got special things that you do use the weapons, and I know you built them for specific reasons, just like I do it myself, and it makes it very easy to just pick from a plethora of parts and stuff.
Yeah, also, with the AR-15, you technically need to buy and fill out the FFL form once for the lower receiver, and then you can build or buy several uppers with several calibers, several setups, and that doesn't need, requires any kind of paperwork.
That's right, because the gun technically is the receiver, which is where the mag goes in.
Yeah,
okay.
It's more my opinion, it's a little bit more user-friendly than an AK. The magazine release is just the bottom, what is at your trigger finger, and just a push. If you twist the gun a little bit, the magazine will fly out. Also, over the AK, it has the bolt release, mm-hmm. but the AK doesn't have, so when you have an empty magazine, the bolt will stuck in the rear, and you put the new magazine in it, push the bolt release, and you're loaded in the chamber, but as an AK doesn't have.
Okay.
But there are one thing I think that I think is the main poison of the AR is those three little rings on the bolt, but it's gas sealing rings, and you technically need to change those after every about 1,000 rounds, and in a situation when you don't have the supplies, it's kind of hard and dangerous to operate the weapon.
Can you explain what's happening to those rings after that much fire?
They are because of the, as the bolt moving in the bolt carrier group, it just shredding down and broke. And after that, there won't be enough gas to operate the whole system, and it can stuck or get, make a malfunction.
Does that still work the same way if it's a piston-driven AR? I can't get the schematic in my head real quick. A piston, I like
I
the
think
piston.
It does, because it's between the bolt and the bolt carrier group.
Right, okay. Yeah, because I was digging a piston based on the reviews and the studies I've seen, how the gases stay out of the chamber and keeps it a little bit cleaner, and the malfunction rate is way, you shoot a hell of a lot more rounds than you would with a gas impingement system where the gas is coming right into the chamber and all that. So
yes, when the Heckler & Koch made the HK 416 and 417,
right.
They technically made a mule gun between the AR and the AK. Used the AR long gas piston system with the AR upper and lower and whole design. And that's one of, in my opinion, and several people's opinion, that's one of the best gun system right now on the market.
Because they combine the best of both worlds.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we've got the AR platform, and then we got the counterpart, we'll say the dark side, is the AK-47. This one's a Sega.
Yeah. Well, with the AKs are the most disadvantage, the couple disadvantages is the firing selector or the safety is cannot really operate it when you try to aim or
you gotta take your hand off the grip to actually function
to operate it or use it with your left hand.
You would have thought somebody would have figured out a way to make that ambidextrous or something.
Actually, Hungary made a AK modernization, and they made a little fire selector connected, and it's you operate it with your thumb.
There you go. Cool. Now, this one here, if you took it apart, it's sloppy as heck, and that's what makes it fire every time. You know? It just rattles, you throw it in the mud, you pick it up, and she shoots.
Yeah, actually, in Vietnam, they found AKs after the war, like, how long was it? 50
yes.
years?
Yes.
And they just took it out from the mud, cranked it up, and they were able to shoot without any kind of problems. That's first because the Russian factory design was to make it work in every kind of different kind of conditions.
That's
like
right.
From Siberia to Afghanistan. Sand, mud, snow, you can name it. You can leave it there for a couple of years, and it will work for you.
Now, with the, I guess, I'm going to guess with American ingenuity, we've come with all these different ways to turn the standard AK-47 into a hybrid. Like, for example, on this particular one, we've got a butt adapter to fit an AR tube and adjustable stock to the AK, whereas it just normally had the wooden stock. You can change out the trigger or the grips. You got four ends with Picatinny rails. All sorts of stuff you can add to it, whereas the older version, the basic models, it was just a plain Jane type of AK. So you can really customize this one to yourself, too.
You can, but the problem is this with these four rails, you can really adapt red dot sights where you don't need to worry about the parallaxes.
Mm-hmm.
But especially in Russian and Hungarian types, there's a rail on the side. I don't know.
Yeah, if you turn it this way. There's a rail right here where you can attach a mount so you can put your scope on it or you can put a red dot on it, whatever you feel fit.
necessary. Mostly the problem with this kind of mounting, if you put a red dot on it or anything else, you cannot really use the iron sights. But when these weapons, all the ARs and the AKs were designed after the Second World War, they mostly figured out and realized the most firefights are between 300 yards and below.
Which both of these weapons are very adept to.
Yes. And also, the AK, the original AK is using the 7.62 ammunition, 7.62x39, what is a really good, powerful, and high
for
expansion.
That range.
And the other problem with all the old kind of ammunition, let's say the military grade ammunition for AKs are steel core. Like, you can wear a plate carrier, but it won't mean too much.
Gee, that makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Until they are not level 4, of course.
Okay. So the ballistics of these two rifles. Now, the 5.56 was designed to hit and tumble. This one here is designed to hit and knock down.
Yeah.
So whereas one shot with an AK is the basic concept is it hits you, you fall down, you don't move. An AR hits you, you get torn up inside, you might be able to move a little bit sometimes. And so the pro and con on that is you got a heavier bullet with the AK, you got a lighter one, but it's more accurate, it tears you up more, it makes it harder for medical personnel to clean you up, so on and so forth.
It's like the difference if I throw you with a rock or I throw you with a brick.
Okay, that's one way to put it. What's your personal preference? What would you want and why?
Well, depends on what. Like, for hunting, I'm using an AR-15, but as you said, if there would be like a survival situation or that kind of situation when I don't have the resources to maintain my guns every day perfectly, I would roll with an AK.
So you could technically, if you were to draw this in a picture, you would draw a large rectangle, up and down rectangle. This would be in it with a glass door, and it would say break here in case of an emergency, right?
Probably, yeah.
Whereas the AR-15 is your all-purpose gun. It's fun. It looks clean. You're having fun with it. It looks pretty. You can customize it. But, man, when the fire breaks out, you take that little hammer, you break the glass, and you pull out your AK-47 because the sucker's going to work every time, man.
Yeah, and you don't need to maintain every day. And that is the biggest point with the AK. You can be anywhere, and it will work for you. Like, when I was in Afghanistan, I saw not one person who had their military issued M4s, but there were always a couple AK-47s. Also, here in America, you can find 5.56 ammunition in
everywhere.
Household.
That's one of the big things that's a consideration for the type of gun you get. But also the AK, there was a bit, I'm telling you, when I first was in the business, I've been in business almost 20 years, okay? And way back in the day, I have to say, the first 10 years, it's AKs. Everybody was going AK crazy. Then all of a sudden, it tapered out. And then the black rifle, the AR, has taken the prominence. So there's a lot of AKs out there. There's a lot of 7.62x39s out there. Because I think people won't realize, hey, you know, I'm having fun with the AR, but when the times are tough, I'm coming to the AK.
Yeah, I saw, like, the 7.62 ammunition is almost, like, cheaper than the dirt right now. But they are not really high-quality ammo, so it's not...
But at 300 meters or less, do you really need high-quality ammo?
Nope.
Not really. Especially in steel case. Here's the thing on steel case. I was doing experiments with steel case for 5.56, and we're out there in the sun doing our tactical training. We've got mags all set up. After two or three mags in the 80, 90-degree weather, I had malfunction after malfunction because that lacquer was getting hot. It wouldn't extract the cartridge, and AKs were just flying like it was no big deal.
Yeah, because the AKs are designed for steel cases.
Steel case, lacquer cases. The ARs, you need brass ammo, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to plink one shot every now and then, okay, use your steel case 5.56. But if you're going to be doing multiple rounds, a lot real quick, it's gonna lock up on you.
Also, one of the pros for the brass ammo and brass casings, you can reload them. Steel casing, it's really hard, and you need special dies and equipment to reload.
You still can do it. I've seen people do pistol calibers anyway, yeah. Steel casing and aluminum casings, but you got to know what you're doing, like you said. I put this towards, like, if I was to compare this with pistols, I would say I'm a 1911 guy all the way. I mean, I live, sleep, drink, eat 1911s. I'm extremely good with it. But when the zombies come, I'm putting the 1911 away and I'm taking out my Glock because the Glock's going to work every time I use it.
Yep.
So that's what we talk about when we're talking AKs. what else can you talk about this? We've got which one's best, what's best for my situation, calibers, accessories. You get all the different types of accessories that you want. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's basically up to you what you want for the purpose. If you've got the money to burn, I would highly recommend having an AK somewhere at the ready, and have fun with your AR. And yeah, it'll work. I mean, I'll go to my AR all the time for protection and normal complications. But really, if it gets bad, knowing I've got an AK-47 at the ready, it's really it puts you at peace a little bit, you know. So, do you, what kind you got? You got one?
No, not yet.
Not yet. That's the key phrase. Not yet. Ladies and gentlemen, you can also get this if you go to ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Call them at 254-983-4417. If you don't have your AR, they got them on the shelf. If you need an AK, they can get you an AK. If you're blessed financially to get both, I highly recommend you get both. And there's so many accessories for both types of firearm platforms. You can customize it to what you need. One thing about customizing a rifle. What if you lose the rifle? Learn your basic fundamentals. Learn stripped weapons. Make sure you know how to shoot your stripped weapons, that you don't have optics, you just got your iron sights. You don't have special quad rails, you just got basic guns. You don't have special stocks and pistol grips. It's basic plain Jane rifle. Once you can understand and function and use the basic fundamentals of these weapons platforms, sure, go ahead and have fun. Just remember, if you lose your special baby, can you pick up a plain Jane one and use it the same? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And also for an AK, I really wouldn't use any kind of optics or something, because in the Hungarian army on basic training and after the first couple of years, we didn't have any kind of optics and fancy rail systems and anything, so we just had the iron sights.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to qualify them up to 350 yards. So,
and
it's easy to do it.
300 yards less than an AK is extremely accurate. I mean, oh, yeah. I've tried it. You can do it. It's not a problem. And they've got the American-made ones that are refined even more and more perfect fits as compared to some of these Romanian ones, and they're just slapped together, but they shoot just as good, too. You can shoot any gun accurately once you figure out how it shoots, so keep that in mind. All right, Zoe, let's finish this up. Any final comments you want to say, AR versus AK-47?
I can only just finally say, choose what you want, but train what you have.
Wow, that was good. I like that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close up trade. Give us a commercial break, and when we come back, if I got a little time, I may give you some updates as to what's coming up. But after that, we're going to have Master Simi Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy, using me as target practice. And we'll see what kind of tactics she's got for us today. So we'll see you on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. 4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Ball Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Ball Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino.Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MISO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rocktail at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rocktail. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rocktail, 254-721-2775.
Welcome back, everybody, to Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I wasn't able to do topic of interest, basically upcoming dates of what's happening. I want to do it real quick before we get Master Cindy Key on here. Just want to let you know we're open Fridays. People ask me, why are you only open Fridays? It's because I used to be a retail store. I'm not a retail store anymore. I'm a training facility. So I'm open one day to the public, and that's Friday night, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's the day. Come on out and do some shooting. It's $10 per person, unless you're coming in on a special day, and we'll talk about those. April 6th, the first Friday of every month, will be two for a night. Two people come in, you pay for the price of one. Simple. April 13th, Friday the 13th, is the next round robin. Every second Friday of the month is the round robin competition. You contribute, it's a $20 entry fee, and if you win, you get a really nice prize, and it's fantastic training. You need to take advantage of it. April 20th will be ladies' night. I don't care who you are or how you... whatever you call it, I don't know. If there's a woman with you, she gets to shoot for free, okay? Seminars, we got all sorts of seminars. Look at aaronsgunshop.com, go to the High Cap Adventure page. License to Carry class, I've got one coming up soon. I got to put it down. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to License to Carry page. I'll have a date up there soon, and you can plug into that, okay? So lots going on. Just check out the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Now, to my left, I have the awesome Master Cindy Key. Miss Key is the owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy out of Rockdale. She does an awesome job, has been teaching for years, and she's here today, and she's going to hurt me again somehow, some way, showing y'all how to protect yourselves. Ms. Key, say hi and tell us what you got.
Hi. We're going to talk about heel palm attacks, and I may have talked about them in the past again, but I want to talk about them again because they're one of the most basic, effective techniques. Let's say if he would... on a heel palm, you use the bottom part of your palm right here. Some people bend their fingers in. Mine won't close anymore. I have too much inflammation in my joints. So I don't even worry about it because I'm going to do a rip after I'm done with the heel palm anyway.
A rip, of course. A rip.
Of course. But, I mean, if somebody was to try to grab you, of course, you want to get your block. I can come up here to his jaw and do a heel palm, and then I have my eye gouge, and I can rip. I can do another heel palm to his solar plexus. I can heel palm to the groin. And after that, I would...
Don't hurt your hand,
good. Oh, right. You wish. But, and honestly, he's wearing the cowboy pants, which are tight, which, FYI for you guys, that's harder for me to get a hold of if I'm going to attack you there to grab than those baggy pants that's that right, I yeah. see a lot of people wearing. Because if you have those baggy pants on, guys, I can get whatever I want. It's just all loose. I can get.
So package up your package.
Package it up. Package it up. Cowboy pants are better. So, going to repeat that. He comes to grab. I'm going to do my basic outside soft block because I don't want to throw his arms out because then he's going to come back at me really fast. This is just like, oh, hey, I'm scared. Then I come up with that heel palm, get his eyes. I can rip down, heel palm to the solar plexus. I can heel palm up to those ribs, heel palm to the groin and do a rip. If he tries to hit me here again, I can heel palm on that jaw, and now I have my elbow set up, which is, elbows are devastating.
That's a lickety-split. The way you're doing it, it's just like, one, two, three, it's done, right?
It's done. It's done. I can do it fast.
Let's try it the other way, Ms. Keys, right. So that when I see it on the film, you know what's going on.
All right. Okay, so one is to get block. Your block, get your heel palm, get your rip, boom, another heel palm to the solar plexus, and now my elbows are set up, so I can come in even to here, here, here. Knife hand, groin. So well, there's so many things that can come after.
Sounds great. Got about a minute left. Why don't you tell everybody what you got going on, how they get a hold of you?
Well, right now, the Rockdale ISD is sponsoring a self-defense class that I'm going to do. So if anybody has kids in iTigers, whether it's elementary or junior high or high school, if you have a child that has done iTiger program, you get to do the self-defense class for free, and it starts on April 9th at 6 o'clock. It's a Monday. So come on out and learn some basic self-defense. It's going to go on for, if we get enough people in it, it'll go on for 4 or 5 weeks. If not, then we're going to do that one class, and if not enough show up, then I'm going to be done.
Look, you got an opportunity. Take advantage of it here. Ms. Key, tell them one more time, because we've got about 30 seconds left, okay. Just to reiterate.
Okay, it's going to be at the Rockdale Junior High at 6 o'clock, April 9th, and any iTiger parent or grandparent or guardian of an iTiger child that goes does that after-school program at elementary, junior high, or high school, you are allowed to do that class, and it's free. It's not going to cost you anything, so take advantage of it. And learn some basic self-defense, and have some fun, too.
And how can they get a hold of you?
I'm at 254-721-2766, and I have Facebook. Anyway, 254-721-2775, and I have a Facebook page under Cindy Key or Central Texas Martial Arts, and you can contact me there, too.
Fantastic. Till next week, everybody. Keep your powder dry, and God bless.
Make Congress act and make sure we put the pressure on them to get some common sense legislation done.
A crowd stretching all the way down Pennsylvania Avenue, almost a 10-block area from near the Capitol down toward the White House, and they're all here for the same